first reading. It comes from Matthew chapter 2, and it's verses 1 right through to 12.
Okay.
The visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second reading is Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And as we invite Helen up here to speak, but just a quick prayer for Helen. Thank you, Lord, for the words you've given Helen. And I ask that you open our hearts and minds and souls to the words you want us to hear. And we lift Helen up to you, and we thank you for all that she does. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. At the moment, we're in what's called the season of Epiphany. And so I thought I'd look at, what is the season of Epiphany? One definition describes part of it as the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, as represented by the Magi in Matthew 2, 1-12, the reading we've had this morning, which begins, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem." For me, this raised four questions. Firstly, who were the Magi? In relation to Jesus, what did the Magi do? What did the Magi say? And what implications does this have for us? So who were the Magi? The Bible says the Magi came from the east. Matthew 2:1. The east at the time of Christ's birth meant Media, Persia, Assyria and Babylonia, modern-day Iraq and Iran. The word Magi comes from the Greek magos, meaning one of a learned and priestly class. It's often translated magician. There are at least 85 paintings of the coming of the Magi in the Roman catacombs. the Gentile Roman Christians identified with the gentle Arab Magi and honoured them in their artwork. It's also likely that the Magi were acquainted with the Hebrew scriptures and prophets. But what do the historians say? Well, in terms of evidence, they say the Magi were not three wise men, inasmuch as the Bible does not say that there were three of them. They were not kings. They did not come to the major scene. And their names were not Gaspar, Melchior, and Belshazzar. They probably didn't arrive until up to 2 years later. All we can know for certain is that some Magi made the long journey from the east to adore the one who had been born King of the Jews. Early Christians identified many Old Testament scriptures with the coming of the Magi. One such scripture is our reading from Isaiah 60 this morning. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. So what did the Magi do? Well, they put the wind up Herod for a start. Magi were also known as king makers, and we read that King Herod was greatly disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. Their arrival and the news they brought threatened, so he thought, his rule and the dominion of his kingdom. Ancient kings needed and relied upon Magi for advice and discernment because they acted as their advisors, so Herod certainly took them very seriously. What else did they do? Well, we read in verse 11 that the Magi bowed down and worshipped Jesus, and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why were these gifts given to Jesus? Well, we've heard variations on this many times before. The ancient church understood the gifts to symbolize aspects of Christ's life and ministry, the work he would do. The gold suggested his royalty as King of the Jews and Lord of Lords. In the frankincense, they saw his divinity. The myrrh represented his humanity, because myrrh suggests death and burial. So the gifts came to show Jesus as King, God, and man. Although the symbolism of these three gifts is often highlighted more today, the gifts were both practical and generous. Just think about it. You've got a teenage mother having given birth to a baby away from their home. Her husband's not that much older. And the wise men offered gold. It would be important. I mean, imagine getting a pot of gold. Very important practical need, particularly as they didn't know, but they were just about to have to go off into hiding in Egypt to escape Herod. So it would be very useful to have the money. I thought these are very good gifts. Frankincense and myrrh were both highly valued in first century culture. And nothing that a gift was special, yet also held practical value as an oil for Jesus and the family. But in the end, these men of wisdom gave what they had to show their devotion to Jesus as the new king. They became the first non-Jews to recognize the importance of Jesus. They had traveled a great distance at great cost to worship him, left him generous gifts, and returned home as God directed them, and to keep Jesus and his family safe. But what did the Magi say? We read in Matthew 2, verse 2, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The most significant for me is the question, "Where is the one who has been born king?" They say, "Born king." Not born to become king, but born king. I don't know of any human being who has been born king. They are born into a line of succession to the throne of a certain kingdom. Just think of Prince Charles, for example. He was born in 1948. By the time he gets to 74, he becomes king. But he could easily have missed it. So he wasn't born king, but to be born king implies that he's already a king. Not to become king, it also means that he already has a kingdom. 30 years later, Jesus himself verifies this. In John 18, verses 36 and 37, Jesus answered, when speaking to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So what does this mean for us? Firstly, the Magi represent the coming of the Gentile nations to pay homage to the Jewish Messiah with all their wealth, power, and wisdom. This is also prophesied in other passages that we could have had this morning, like Psalm 72 and Isaiah 11. Secondly, they represent a real and urgent choice, made not just 2,000 years ago, but one we all have to make every day. The Magi have the choice of two kings to honour. One is Herod in Jerusalem, the other is Jesus in Bethlehem. It would have been easy for them to be taken in by the trappings of Herod's power and to stay in Jerusalem when they arrived. They knew, though, that their journey was not over. Geographically, it's only a short distance from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It's only just over 7 miles. But spiritually, they're a world apart. When they asked Herod where the Messiah was to be born, it could have appeared politically very foolish. No ancient king could tolerate such a threat to his authority. But in fact, it was spiritually wise. It enabled the Magi to discern that Herod was not their man. And each of us has to make the same choice between the status quo, safety, respectability, and influence, and Jesus, who asks us to surrender all of these to him. Matthew 2, 1-2 is all about seeking and finding Jesus. We live in a world of two opposing kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Isaiah's prophecy that we've had today, Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you." "And his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." If we fast forward about 800 years, Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Colossians 1:12-14 says, "Give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Freed from the burden that compels us to live for ourselves, we are enabled to experience a life of communion with God, with ourselves and with one another. We can glorify God in our lives. We can accept others for who they are. We can forgive. We can serve without expecting anything in return. And we can love like Christ loved, in the dimension of the cross. Luke 12:32 says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom has been given to us." However, the choice is something we need to make on a daily basis. We can still reject Jesus and remain instead in the darkness of our own selves. That is what happened to Herod. When the Magi announced to him that Jesus, the King of the Jews, had been born, Herod was troubled. What for the wise men had been manifested through the special light of a star, which eventually filled them with joy, for Herod was the inconvenient news that his kingdom was at risk. If light is communion, darkness is to be enslaved to our own ideas and our own plans of happiness. When we choose darkness, God's designs for our life become heavy and difficult to accept. The other, instead of being someone I am called to love and serve, becomes an obstacle. However, Jesus, born King, the Saviour of the world, has set us free by calling us into his kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, which, as Romans 14:17 says, is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'll finish with 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we belong to a different kingdom, all around us, where you are in control. When circumstances overwhelm us, when temptation comes before us, when negative thoughts invade our minds, when all hope has gone, thank you that you have rescued us from the power of all these things and transferred us into the reality of your kingdom. Lord Jesus, in that place where God is there for us, his presence is all around us, he is here. Holy Spirit, release in us what Jesus came to do for us and through us. We offer ourselves to you. Breathe a new life, a new cleansing fire, a new stream of your cleansing power, and change us and transform us. Amen.